said, turn to Acts 16 if you would. And yeah, youth, you're here. Don't embarrass me, guys, okay? All right, so Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6. It says here, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when the time had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, whatever, how you say that. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. In a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. All right, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, you are so good. And Lord, as I look around and I see every single person here, Lord, you have brought them all here and you have been good to all of us. All my life, you have been faithful, and it's so true, Lord. And as we look and we dig into the scriptures, Lord, thank you for the faithfulness in the life of Paul, Timothy, and Silas. So we love you. May I decrease and you increase. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can be seated. And you know, I just want to share something. As Mike was up here, and it was really simple, but as he was singing that song, you are God is so good, you know, I'm not an emotional guy. In fact, like, I never cry, but some just took over me because I looked around and I saw everyone here. And I looked at my life, because we're talking about Acts 16, God's plan in uncertain times. And I look at my life and how great God has been. There's no one like God, and he has been so good in my life. So I just want to share that with you. God is no joke. He is good, and I don't think you're here just because you had nothing to do on a Sunday. I think you're here for a certain reason. God is so good, man. I just had to tell you guys that. So... So we start off here in Acts 16 with Paul, Timothy, and Silas on their second missionary journey. In their first missionary journey, Paul did a lot of church planning ministry. He did a lot of evangelism, and he started some of the first churches. Well, now fast forward 5 years later, Paul is wanting to follow up with these churches and to strengthen them. It was a follow-up. The initial motivation for the second missionary journey was to strengthen, but I think God had other plans. And we start to see, you know, God kind of changed things up. Nothing seemed to go as to Paul's plans, but I think God had some greater plans in mind. Now, if you know anything about me, I am the kind of person that has been so terrified of change. I'm a man of habit. I do the same thing every morning. I brew my coffee, I use the bathroom, and read the word, and then 7:36 is when I leave to come to church. So, you know, it's 7:36 because there's school traffic on mission. So I'm a man of habit, and everything seems to be planned out. And I kind of freak out when things aren't going according to my own plan. To kind of run you through my life, I was a huge procrastinator in high school because I was always afraid to mess up, so I wouldn't even start. And this brought me to college. I had to choose a major, and I don't know which major I'm going to choose, so let me buy some time. What better way to do it than Bible college, right? You know, you don't have to pick a major. You just, you know, it's like church every day. So I went to Bible college, but it wasn't until Bible college that God really started to grab a hold of my heart as I started to know more about him. And I started to realize that God was the one guiding me all this time. So I started to fall in love with the Lord in Bible college and a girl named Michaela. So there's that. As I was in Kauai and we took this class, I felt such a strong urge to come back to Fremont. And it was through the class Nehemiah, I felt like I was Nehemiah. I had to go back and build the walls. And so it didn't make any sense, but I obeyed, and it turned out it wasn't so odd because the ministry in Kauai shut down, and God opened the door for me to be a youth pastor here. Which is funny because if you know anything about youth ministry, nothing goes to plan. So that kind of freaked me out. Fast forward on to May 2019, it was time to propose to Michaela. And I had, being the planner that I am, an extensive plan. I would fly her to Kauai. I would pop the big question on the beach that we hung out. It would be sunset. I'd have a tiki torch kind of lining up. And, you know, all of it would be surprise. And she would just cry. And my words would be so beautiful. And she wouldn't be able to say no. Why are you guys laughing? Well, that was my famous last words, that it was going to be perfect, because there was 4 or 5 things that went terribly wrong right as I got to Kauai to propose to her. Number one, there was a dead whale on the beach. Like, what? How does that happen? On the beach, and they couldn't get it out. It stuck up the whole beach. Horrible. Number two, her flight was delayed by like 2 days. Man, it messed up all the plans, and I blame Delta for that. Three, I lost my driver's license, and so that meant I'm basically stuck on the island. I can't get out until I find my driver's license. And then finally, the cherry on top, my wallet got stuck in the glove compartment of the car. Oh my goodness. I've never felt so defeated and angry at God at that moment. And I was sitting in the car punching this glove compartment and screaming, "Open up! I need my wallet! God, what are you doing?" And I was so frustrated and to the point of tears. You're so angry that you're crying angry tears. And right then and there, God got a hold of my heart. And he put on my heart this verse, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And I felt like that was the lesson I needed to learn. The Lord was directing. I had all these plans. You know, my marriage is going to be perfect and all these things. But the Lord is the one directing my step. Now take note, that's in 2019. I thought this was a prophetic thing for my marriage, but that transferred over to 2020. And as 2020 burst into entire chaos, I kept reminding myself, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And which is why I'm so excited to bring to you the word of Acts 16, because this is what is happening in Paul's life. I think one of the biggest fears and questions is, what's my next step in life? We see in Paul's life, it's uncertain, it's unpredictable, and it seems like every plan that Paul has, it's changed and modified. But we see the heart of Paul. He planned his way, but he let the Lord direct his steps. And what blows my mind is Paul and his gang had certainty in Christ when their plans were very uncertain. And I think we can all relate to that. You know, from the past year, I feel like we're still recovering. I think everyone's plans were shaken up from last year. Everything was unpredictable as we stood in the Costco line for an hour just to get toilet paper. It's just, everything is crazy. So I think here are some things that I saw from the text on how God guides us. So the first point of today that I have for you guys is that God guides when we give up our rights. God guides when we give up our rights. If you notice in the beginning of Acts 16, Paul wanted Timothy in verse 3 to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of all the Jews who were in those places. for they knew that his father was a Greek. Well, I want to talk about this topic because in Acts 15, Paul spent a lot of time arguing that it was not necessary for the Gentile converts to come under the law of Moses to be circumcised. In other words, you don't need to be circumcised to be saved. And if you don't know what that is, you can ask Pastor Tim. I'm not going to talk about what that is. But but why is he circumcising Timothy now in verse 3? Well, I think, and we need to keep in mind Paul's strategy and Paul's method, whenever Paul entered a new city, the first thing that he would do whenever he enters a Jewish synagogue would be going to the Jews first and then the Gentiles, because his heart as a devout Jew himself was to reach his own people. And in order to go in to these synagogues, you need to be circumcised. So Timothy wasn't circumcised. That means he would have been considered as an apostate Jew and would not be able to accompany Paul in the synagogue. So he's given up a right here. It was Paul that wrote in 1 Corinthians 9 that I have become all things to all people so that I can win them to Christ. I think it is so important, I want to spend some time on this, that we should note that Timothy and Paul both agreed to give up their rights to further the gospel. Timothy and Paul and Silas all gave up their rights and agreed to further the gospel. It had nothing to do with righteousness, but effectiveness for the gospel. You know, I just kind of feel like been watching and just seeing what's happening in culture today and politics and all these things. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like there's become more rights. There's like so many more new ones that I've never even heard of. And people are so busy and they spend so much time fighting for that right, you know? And I don't know about you guys, but those rights are not a hill that I want to die on. And I see in the text that Paul was willing to give up, more Timothy than Paul, was willing to give up something for the furtherance of gospel. And I want to remind you guys that our main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And what's the main thing? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I love Pastor Tim because he'll hook you with all these controversial things, whether it's in his blog or his intro, but then he'll bring it back and point it straight to Jesus. And that should be our focus. That should be the thing that we fight for. There's a lot of rights that we have, but some of the things that I think of, and maybe you can relate, is a right to my time. I'm a busy guy, and I love my weekends because I get to sit back in my PJs and my jammy jams, and I get to relax. At least that's what the hope is. And I've noticed something in my heart when it comes to a Friday, Saturday, even Sunday. Something comes up when there's an event that's not really according to plan, and I catch myself thinking, hey, I deserve the right. I deserve the right to have my own weekend. What are they doing? Like, don't they know I had a busy week? And even to the point of sometimes fellowship, I'll be honest, you know. There's a few times that I thought that during the worship night or the college group. And the Lord really convicted me because I was just like, you know, here I am holding on to my right. And I'm holding something away from myself. And to you guys, that might look like making time for that person to follow up. You have that person on your heart, whether it's a coworker, an old friend who's falling away from Christ, but then you haven't made that time. Maybe that giving up that right means making a little extra time for them. Another thing is a right to my freedom. right to my money. I just started golfing, and boy, is it fun, but golf is expensive. And when you look at some of the clubs, woo, it's like $1,000 just for a little, you know, dinky little club. And I get tempted every time I look at it because I'm like, you know, what's keeping me from just buying this club? It's so shiny. I'll be a better player when I get it. And, you know, automatically. But then my common sense comes to me and it tells me this. I'm not buying that club because I love my wife and I need to provide for her because we're going to get in the red if I bought that. And so you see how my motive there is love. I'm not going to spend all that money on that because I'm focused on providing for my wife. A right of my comfort. You know, again, I mentioned I love my home. And sometimes I find myself grumbling when people come over or something unexpected happens. But the whole thing I'm trying to get to you guys is love gives up its rights. Love gives up its right. And when I think of love, I think of the love chapter. Love is patient and kind. And I encourage you guys to read through that and list and know how many rights there are. Love is patient and kind. You know, when someone's giving me an earful, I feel like I have a right to not tolerate or be patient or kind. And it could be argued that that's true. If someone's treating me bad, I don't have to be patient and kind because I have a right to not be. It does not boast or is proud. You know, if I did something for myself and I'm proud of it, of course I have a right to be proud. It's something I did, right? There's another right there. I like this one. This was my favorite. Love keeps no record of wrongs. To keep a record of wrongs is also a right. We could technically say it's a right because I can have a right if someone, you know, badmouths me, you know, and says something, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. You know, you can get into this attitude. But what's so crazy about the love of Christ is love gives up its rights. And that's what I see in Paul, Timothy, and Silas. They're so focused. They don't care what it is. They want to reach the lost. Ladies and gentlemen, our goal should be saving souls instead of our self-service. Our goal should be saving souls instead of our self-service. And sometimes it starts by giving up a right. Is everyone okay? All right. It's hard for me to hear, so I was just checking up on you guys. Okay, the second one, how God guides is God guides through closed doors. God guides through closed doors. If you notice here, in verse 6 and 7, it says, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And then the next verse, it says, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And there's some debate on what that actually means. Some people say Paul had a physical problem. He had migraines. But I think we should just keep in mind that Jesus was the one that closed the door. Jesus was the one that forbid them to go to certain places. Paul and Timothy kept moving, though, despite this disappointment and closed doors. They wanted to go west. God said no. They wanted to go north. God said no. So finally, they went northwest. Paul was guided by hindrance. Paul was guided by hindrance. And I find that sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit guides us. He guides us by the closing of doors. Just like he opens doors, but we're focused here on closed doors. If you know David Livingston, who is a very instrumental preacher and missionary in China, David Livingstone wanted to go to China, but God sent him to Africa. William Carey wanted to go to Polynesia, but God sent him to India. Caleb Pang wanted to go to Kauai, but God sent him to Fremont. And what a good thing that is. What a good thing. And that could be true for you. Maybe the Lord has closed the door. Maybe he's caused a hindrance. When I think of hindrance, I think of any driver on 680. You know, when I think of hindrance, I think of things that don't go according to plan. And right here, we see Paul and Timothy, even before chapter 16, they got in a fight with Barnabas. It just, they didn't agree and they split their separate ways. And then here we see the Lord forbids them to go to a place. That's a hindrance. I think there's always a temptation when we're hindered to get in this attitude, you know, grumble, and just lose that hope, lose that joy. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Another verse in Proverbs 19:21, many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. God closes doors. He guides you. Don't be discouraged when he closes that door. It's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be annoying. It's going to suck. But that's how God guides. If we could go to the next slide. I love this movie. This is, if you're a movie connoisseur like me, this is the movie Finding Nemo. So what happens is this dad here, Marlin, loses his son and freaks out, as I think all of us would. But he so happens to stumble upon a carefree fish named Dory. And Dory has a motto. That motto is, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And Dory says this to Marlin, and it's been so, it was an encouragement to him. And I think sometimes when we hit a closed door, we lose hope and we give up. But I think there's some wisdom in this motto right here to keep moving forward. Just because the Lord closed the door doesn't mean you should stop and make a fuss and get upset. Just keep moving and move on. There's a game also. I don't know if we had this for the Harvest Festival, but I had to Google search this. I didn't know what it was called. I just looked up stick and ball game. But it turned out it's called Palinko. But I think this is kind of how life is. There's so many things you can find on the internet and so many inspirations. But you see this, what you do is you drop a ball and it kind of falls on these little pegs and it moves and moves, and your goal is to get to the 100-point mark. And I think that's kind of like life. Life is like this. It's like a Palinko board game. And there's a lot of hindrances that get in our way, but our attitude should be just to move forward, to keep moving forward. When God closes the door, it's going to be uncomfortable. But please remember this. God didn't send his son to save you from unhappiness. He came to save the world from sin. You know, I know, and I'm very confident in this, is that God uses the tragedies in your life as a strategy to point you to Christ. God uses the hard things in your life. He uses the mess up things. Someone might have died, a broken relationship. God has used the tragedies, and it's not going to waste. It's all part of his grand scheme, his grand strategy. And I think of that verse. God works all things together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And that good is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. It's not what you think. It's not getting that Ferrari. And that good, he uses, nothing in your life is wasted. He uses it to make you like Jesus, to make you a little closer to Jesus. And are you going to listen to that call? Or is it just going to create more bitterness? God called Paul, Timothy, and Silas. And another thing I want to point out is God will not call you to a place where he cannot sustain you. He closed the doors, and it seemed very discouraging, but the Lord's hand was still upon them. My next point is, God's guidance doesn't always turn out like we imagine it to be. God's guidance doesn't always turn out like we imagine it to be. If you guys look down here in verse 9, It says this, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia.'" Okay, let's make a note there. That was a man in his dream saying to come over to Macedonia. And then moving on, in verse 13 of chapter 16, "And on the Sabbath day we went outside to the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia." So let's stop there. Paul gets a vision of a man in Macedonia. And then when he goes to this place of prayer, guess who's there? It's not a man. It's two women, Lydia and this other lady. And so I think it's important to note that God gave Paul the first step. The first step was to go to Macedonia, but he didn't give him the next step. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. I don't like that. But why does God do that? Why does God give Paul the first step, but not the next step? Well, I think because God just wanted Paul to be faithful with the things in front of him. God just wanted Paul to be faithful with the things right in front of him. I think sometimes I'll come across a song in the radio, and I hear their voice, and in my head, I start to envision what they look like, okay? So I want to do a little test on you guys. I found this song, and in my opinion, it's not a good, like, I don't like the music of it or the style, but just focus on his voice, and I want you to picture in your head what this guy actually looks like. So let's go to the next slide there. There should be a video. In your head, let's use our imagination caps, okay? All right, so could you play that video and start to think what this guy would look like? You'd be surprised. Okay, so he's got a beefy voice, man. That thing's got some bass to it, and it's thick. But, like, I start to think this is, like, a bigger guy, probably, and he's, you know, probably because of, he's got, I envision a bigger, browner man, you know? Can I say that up here? But you'd be surprised, so. Maybe you have an image already. Let's go to the next picture. This is what he actually looks like, okay? Surprise! Surprise! I was so shocked when I found this picture because that he caught me so off guard. But I think sometimes we listen to God's calling and we already have an idea in our head how God's going to call us. We have already a preconceived idea. You know, God's going to call me to this and that. He's going to give me a great relationship. He's going to give me a job like this. And we're going to have four kids. And I'm going to name her and him. We have a preconceived idea, whether we believe it or not. We all have some things. It's super silly, but I remember I genuinely felt in high school, this shows how unholy I was. My calling was to be in a famous band. A famous band. I had a name. I'd be the lead singer. Everyone would be so, you know, crazy about me. And the name would be called Process of Change. Really cool, you know, whatever. So I genuinely believe that was God's plan for me. And that's in my high school brain. Another thing that came by was I thought I was going to be a pro tennis player. You know, I was pretty good. You know, I could probably go to college and play tennis. You know, I thought, yeah, you know, maybe not singing's my thing or playing guitar. Maybe let's move on to pro tennis. And so, Yeah, that didn't work out because, yeah. but we can so easily lose sight of what is in front of us because we have this preconceived idea. We have this preconceived idea of how God's going to work. You know, expecting the Lord to work a certain way is really asking God to serve you instead of you serving God. And I'm speaking to myself. You know, expecting him to work a certain way is asking God to serve you instead of you serving God. And when I think of that, I think of Cain and Abel. You guys remember that story, right? Abel, God said, give me your best lamb, your unspotted sheep. Abel gave his first best sheep. But you know what Cain did? Cain knew. He knew the expectation. But he said, you know what, God? Have you seen my vegetables, though? Pretty nice. I'm a really good gardener. And, you know, I think you actually want this vegetable. And it didn't work out. that's not what God expected. And that he had a preconceived idea of how he would serve God. Same thing with Jonah. Jonah kind of had a preconceived idea. So you can expect, you can see his frustration and his surprise when God said, go to Nineveh, and so he ran away. Even Saul, the first king of Israel, things were going bad towards the end of his life, and he kind of expected God to serve him. So, you know, he took things into his own hands. He got, like, someone to resurrect Samuel from the dead, and he asked Samuel for his advice, and it was already too late. Serving God means offering God your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Give him everything you got. And what can hinder that is when you already think and expect how it's going to look. You know, maybe you're here today and you have had that expectation. And it's just been closed door after closed door. Maybe you're here and you don't know what to expect. And I love that song that Mike sings is, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. Mike, you better watch out. But I love that lyric. It always brings tears to my eyes because we build our foundation on the solid rock of Christ's teachings, you know? And that house can look the same. It looks the same from the top. But what matters is that foundation. Are you putting your trust in God, your full trust? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. We expect God to direct our steps when we don't even put our trust. And maybe you're here today, you haven't fully put your trust in the Lord. And I want to tell you today that it's no accident that you're here. I believe it's not an accident that you're here. God has a plan, and it's right in front of you. I want us just to bow our heads and open up the gospel to whoever wants it. Because I believe this is for someone here today. You might be in a hard stage in your life. You might feel like you're running in circles. You might ask, what's the point of life? What's the point of it? It's failure after failure. Well, I want to encourage you that God has a plan for you. And my question is, do you know God well enough to know his plan for you? If there's anyone here this morning, if there's anyone, the Lord's tugging on your heart, I just want you to raise your hand. We're not going to play any music. And you want to accept the Lord, I just encourage you to raise your hand. If there's anyone here, you haven't accepted the Lord, you haven't done it yet. I'm talking to you, live stream too. If you haven't accepted the Lord, text that number. Text that number. We'll reach out to you because God has a plan for your life. If you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I messed up. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I made it when it's about you, Jesus. Lord, I invite you into my heart and my life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.